the village we're currently in. We come to you courtesy of the Barrett Memorial Library in Williams Bay today. And the story of Williams Bay and today's 45 minutes is going to be about the history of Williams Bay. But by all means, Racine County and Kenosha County, and indeed all Walworth County, tune in to the conversation and enjoy it, because we're going to be talking about not only the history of Williams Bay, which is a remarkable town, part of the Geneva Lakes, or depending on your marketing bent, the Southern Lakes region that contains Lake Geneva, the county seat of Elkhorn, and extends all the way from East Troy in one corner to Sharon in another, and Genoa City in the southeast border, and southwest, I think, half of Whitewater, where the University of Wisconsin Whitewater is. But it's a story not only of Walworth County, but indeed of southeastern Wisconsin. So we welcome you this morning, and we welcome our three guests for our topic, which is the Wonders of Williams Bay historical tour, which is going to take place on Saturday, May 20th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So roughly, if I do my math right, 3 weeks from now, as we air on Saturday at approximately 11:17 a.m. in the morning. And our guests are Greg Trush, current village trustee and co-founder of the Williams Bay Historical Society; John Grove, another co-founder, a co-conspirator in the society, a former trustee, a 50-year resident, along with his wife, Pat Grove, the current president of the Williams Bay Historical Society, and along with John, a 50-year resident, as we said, and they met at George Williams College, John and Pat, which we'll be talking about as well. So, first of all, a group welcome to Greg, John, and Pat.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello.
Thank you all for coming, and I will first of all recognize our 3-year member club of Community Matters, Greg Trush. Welcome, Greg, and you think you got it down now, this radio interview business?
I think so. You make it so easy, Jim, so.
Well, hopefully our audience will agree. This is the are we on the 3rd year now, Greg, of the tour?
I think, correct me, Pat, it was done 2 years ago?
2 years ago in October we had one, our first one.
Right.
And now this is the second one. And we're holding it at a little different time of year, because the October one we had rain and sleet and almost snow that day.
So, Pat, this is actually the second one. And and that's why we didn't have one in 2016, was because of the elements?
No, it was because of the conflicts. Other things had been scheduled. Williams Bay is a hub of activity, of events, and I don't remember exactly. I think it was the tire race.
It really is the busiest little town in Wisconsin.
It sure is. And so we have to get on the schedule almost 2 years ahead of time for an event.
And what an event! First of all, Greg and John, let's talk a little bit about how the Historical Society of Williams Bay was founded. Greg, what was your role in all of this?
Well, I like history in general, and the thought occurred whether we wanted to get an exhibit organized down at the library on the history of Williams Bay. And for that, we got so many wonderful people that wanted to participate. And as soon as the, I think it was a month-long exhibit was closed, we got together, and there was very strong interest in keeping things together as a historical society.
And John Grove, former trustee Grove, you and your wife both look to me like 25-year residents. I guess history keeps you young, but John, what was your role, and really, what was your heart at the time when you were a co-founder of the society?
As in so many families, Pat and I felt like things were drifting away. We were losing things that from our families that should have been written down, should have been recorded, should have been saved. And we thought about the community, and we thought, well, there's so many people here that must have written oratories, must have little trinkets, must have many different things that pertain to William Spey that should not be lost and should be cataloged and exhibited at some point. So we decided to begin. We began with about 16 interested people, and I think we've grown to close to 60 people in our group.
And for our home-based listeners in Kenosha, Racine, I mean, you have a wonderful resource that that gets us driving down east-west Main Line, Wisconsin Highway 50, and marvelous Civil War Museum. Well, in Williams Bay, they have a War of 1812 connection, which goes back a little farther, about 48 years or so. Greg, tell me a little bit about, I guess, the namesake of Williams Bay.
Oh, yes, that's Captain Williams, and he was a veteran of the War of 1812, so you could say now we have almost 200 years' worth of people participated in the nation's wars buried over there.
And this is the cemetery for Williams Bay?
Captain Williams is buried at the East Elvin Union Cemetery on the corner of Bailey Road and Theater, and John can tell you the most about that cemetery, but it is named after him, and he came to Williams Bay sometime in the 1830s, just about the time that the Indians were ordered to vacate west of the Mississippi River, so he became friends with Chief Bigfoot. And shortly thereafter, the chief had to leave, and Captain Williams was there, and slowly the settlement started to develop.
And as we get ready to talk about the various places that people can see, everywhere from the historic Belfry Theater, where a few actors of note got their professional start, one being Harrison Ford, the other Paul Newman, and a third, Gary Berghoff, Radar O'Reilly of MASH theme, and of the namesake Delavan Union Settlers Cemetery, which is part of the 15 or so events. Perhaps Delavan's most famous resident, and depending on your politics, certainly the governor, politics aside, Governor Stott Walker hails from there. But everything from our service from Chicago on the Chicago and Northwestern Railway until 1965, to the historic theater, to the world's largest lens-type telescope at the literally world-famous Yerkes Observatory, and then the story of the local Potawatomi Indians. As Greg just mentioned, Chief Bigfoot, and that's where Bigfoot High School in Walworth gets its name, the town of Bigfoot on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. And before we move on to all these areas, we should say that, and hands please on who wants to take this first, Mrs. Bigfoot is or was all of 100 feet from us, just southeast of the library. How did she literally end up a tree?
Well, the Indians did quite a few burials in the area that is Williams Bay. It was near the lake, and that was a sacred area. We are on Congress. What's this on Geneva Street? But behind us is Elm Street, and as you're going east down Elm Street behind the library, you'll come to one lot on the south side of the street, I believe, and you'll note it's vacant with a little stone bench. And as you go up that lot, you'll see some beautiful trees. It has a high elevation at one point. And that was a well-authenticated Indian burial ground used by the Potawatomi. It may have gone back further than that. Now, just before the chief left, there was an epidemic and a number of his family died, including, I think it was two wives. In any case, they were buried on platforms. They had a very different idea of burial from the settlers coming into Europe, where they would literally put the deceased on a platform and let the body go to nature over time. It was the children that they would bury in the trees. And the story is that Chief Bigfoot asked Captain Williams, who was the new arrival and was going to be staying in the area, if he would take care of the burial site. And he said he would, but once the chief and the Indians were gone, the captain kept his promise, but as he saw it, which is you bury the dead in the ground. You don't have them up in the trees or, you know, up above. But we do know that that is a burial site. And in fact, the Potawatomi were invited up here, and they made a point of buying that lot to be sure that there will be no development of it subsequently.
And I talked about the history of Williams Bay being the history not only of the county and the region, but the more I think about it, the story of the country from the Indians being moved west to, as we'll learn a little bit later, the mastodons dating back to whenever. And if you want to go back to earliest history, we are the southernmost part of Green Bay, although the views of the football game aren't so great. But literally the water that's left here was the southern extremity of the present-day actual Green Bay and receded with the glacier, leaving all our wonderful gravel. When I believe we have two gravel pits, commercial gravel facilities here as well. So let's come up to present day, and Pat, we're going to put you in the hot seat for this. Present day Williams Bay is a crossroads for Walworth County, literally at the bend of the road of Highway 67, which connects us with both the county seat to the north of Elkhorn, and indeed the entire state, because just 5 minutes of us is Interstate 43, which goes on a direct beeline in a ridiculous 39 minutes to Milwaukee, and also connects us with Rockford and such. But at this crossroads, nicknamed Bayberry because it never much changes, is where people, much like in Lake Geneva, walk the shoreline every day, enjoy touristy type things, but also year-round history. So if present day one was to journey in 3 weeks to Williams Bay, what are they going to see, Pat, for starters? First of all, where the heck do you come to see the 15 different wonders we'll be talking about today?
Well, we are hoping that our visitors will park along Edgewood Park. We have a huge park in Williams Bay called Edgewood, and there is a pavilion there, and that's where many of the Williams Bay activities are held.
And Edgewood basically is at that bend in the road where you go as far as you can south from 67 and 50, about 6 minutes, 7 minutes south of the Interstate 43 Elkhorn-Williams Bay exit. And there's Edgewood Park, and there's the northwestern corner of Geneva Lake.
Okay, and then we're hoping to have a check-in. We are having a check-in there, and we will be providing tour booklets and also a map of where the various sites are to visit that day. And this is from 10 to 3 p.m., as Jim stated.
We can almost give a lightning round of everything. If you can and quickly just say the titles, and then we'll drill down from there.
Okay, we will be, actually the visitor can start at any point in Williams Bay. If they prefer to go out to the cemetery first or out to Belfry Theater first, that'll be just fine. It's a self-guided tour. There will be tours available at 10, 11, and 12 at Yerkes Observatory,
which is a regular Saturday feature of Williams Bay. Yerkes started being built by our Swedish settlers in 1895 and was up and operating by 1897. Had a few fellows by the name of Carl Sagan and Albert Einstein. Sagan studied there for his master's. Albert Einstein, by legend, was going to, there was two places he wanted to visit when he came to America in 1921, Niagara Falls and us. So they certainly can enjoy the regular Yerkes activities, 10 to noon.
And then we have in this booklet, sites are labeled with in alphabetical order. And Greg Thrush will be down at the famous bridge. It's called the Edgewater Park Bridge in Weems Bay. And he'll be providing a short narrative on the Ice Age and the mastodons as the glacier went through.
Big giant elephants with tusks.
Well, I guess that's one way to say it. He'll be giving the history of that. Another site will be the Geneva Lake Boats. We will have a history, and we'll have displays set up right on the lakefront at the Municipal Pier.
The world-famous Geneva Lake Gauge Tour Boats, which recently celebrated last year the 100th anniversary of the very unique United States Post Office mail service. And then on to our Native Americans we just discussed. With the statue of a Potawatomi woman at the lakefront. And then to me as a railroad buff, Pat, who is the president of the Williams Bay Historical Society, Pat Grove, we actually had an honest-to-goodness railroad here from 1867 to 1965, including passenger service.
We sure did. There were 78 years of rail services that came through the city of Lake Geneva. And the John, maybe you would like to talk more about this, the trains.
The folks that came up after the Great Chicago Fire began to build homes up here after they tried to get their life back together. And as they turned out to be some of the more wealthy people from the Chicago area, the Myers, the Selfridge folks, a lot of the people that had department stores and packing houses. They built large homes. The Wrigleys eventually came up here, and the trains followed so that the folks could come up on the weekends, especially the gentlemen could come up and be with their families who might be vacationing up here. And the trains would let them off at our beach down here in Williams Bay. They would be met by their own steamboats a lot of times to take them to their estates, or they'd be met by fancy carriages that would take them to their estates. And it was quite something to see. So that began, that was part of our railroad. Railroad went, I believe, until 1965. There was actually a turntable in Williams Bay. The trains would come up, and it was just like a giant record turntable. The train would pull on it, the engine would pull on it, and then the engine would be turned around and recoupled to the cars and head back to Chicago. So that was quite interesting, something to see.
I sometimes wonder if Harrison Ford, who acted here the summer of 1964 as the last scholarship in resident artist after he left Ripon College, I sometimes wonder if Mr. Ford, who was born in Chicago and his parents lived in Chicago and Morton Grove, where he went to high school with somebody named Rodham Clinton, I believe, yeah. Hillary Rodham Clinton. I sometimes wonder if his parents didn't catch the train up to see him once or twice. The train station was right by where something that looks remarkably like a train station in the Chicago and Northwestern style. If you were to go down from Zion to Lake Forest to Evanston, there was just a certain very prevalent architecture, and the present-day beach house was made to look exactly like a Northwestern station and is right across from the Kishwaukato or Kishwaukito. Someone help me with that.
Oh, KNC for short.
That's the best way to pronounce it. But Kishwaukato Nature Preserve, which incidentally is next on our trail here, Pat.
Okay, next on the trail. The Kishwaukato Nature Conservatory, called the KNC, it's actually the perfect place to watch the changes of the seasons. It was originally a hunting camp for the Potawatomi people from 1641 to 1836. Part of it was also the site of the Chicago and Northwestern Railroad. And the village board decided they disapproved many proposals that came in for the area, and just decided that they wanted to keep it as a nature conservatory. So in 1989, KNC was truly established. It just had its 25th year anniversary. And our visitors on the tour are invited to walk through the conservatory. The entranceway to that will be beachside, though. Our docent will be there, Greg Killian.
So no walking in through the subway side, but if you want to be part of the tour, walk in and meet that docent by the beach. And as we move toward the halfway point of the program, if you're heading to Williams Bay, it's hard not to run into the fire department. We recommend you don't, but the beautiful 1936 Williams Bay Fire Department is what's known as Site F, which, if I do my math, is the sixth stop in the tour. Pat?
Yes. The fire department, Williams Bay, is actually in the process of exploring proposals to build a new fire station at this point. The current fire station does not fit the trucks, the length of the trucks, and so that's become quite a problem through the years. So the building will be open with two docents. This was built in 1935. And so we're hoping that the building will come down to some civic-minded groups that will want to use it. And the Historical Society is one of the groups that is seizing the opportunity to be part of the old firehouse as a museum and a home for the Historical Society.
And certainly with our other civic groups like the Williams Bay Business Association and other groups, I think from bird watchers to history buffs, it would be an interesting spot. And, one thing that fascinates me about the fire department, Greg Trush, co-founder of the Historical Society, is an article I said that had this tiny little fire station, this three garage special, which has had an addition to the back, had a spacious conference room up top. Just how spacious is it up there?
You know, you're intrigued by interest, Jim. I've never been in there, but I think John here may be more familiar with it than I am.
How spacious, John?
I was on the fire department for 16 years. It's the same size as the bottom. It's the entire size of the bottom part of the building.
So. Well, if you can fit soon-to-be two long trucks in that, that's pretty impressive. But, again, a marvelous representation of Depression-era architecture and how you can do a whole lot with a little bit. Well, speaking of a whole lot with a not-so-little radio station, it's the halfway point of our program where I remind you that you are listening on WGTD-FM, HD, if you want to be really persnickety, high definition, out of Kenosha and Racine at 91.1 FM, out of our Walworth County both courthouse, several of them, and county seat on 101.7 FM. And in Lake Geneva, you might have heard of that place every now and then, 103.3 FM. And around the world, which I would be so bold as to say would find the story of Williams Bay and its historical tour interesting, around the world on www.wgtd.com. GTD, by the way, stands for Gateway Technical District, one of the state areas for all things technical, college, and two-year degrees. Greg Trush, Village Trustee, we're halfway through our tour of the wonders of Williams Bay. Tell me a little bit about Site G, downtown Williams Bay, and the business district. You're an old-time Chicago political,
right.
I wouldn't say political hack, but certainly an operative in the city of Chicago, which was your former life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the downtown of Williams Bay. Certainly no skyscrapers, but a rather stately
right.
three-story building.
Right. Well, as the Williams Bay development, settlement grew around 1900, it was fairly hot for certain commercial items. Ice, you know, coming from the lake, being packaged, stored, sent on trains to Chicago, to the Palmer House, lumber. And as more people started to settle out here, including people attached to the new Yerkes that was built in the 1890s, things like bakeries, stores, or whatever started to grow up. Now, unlike slightly larger towns, which have well-defined business districts, you can go to Delavan and say three, four blocks of sandstone buildings that were built up around 1900, and that's where the business district is. Ours tended to be buildings that were built to serve the purpose. The lumber yard or the ice place is gone. It's torn down. Something replaces it. One of the few buildings that is standing over 100 years is the one that's at the corner of Geneva and Walworth. It's anchored by the barber shop on the first floor. And that building goes back to around 1900 and is an old historic building. And along Geneva Street and going up Walworth is our commercial area. And we are Now, right now, Williams Bay is kind of a tricky area to conduct a business in. If you're expecting off-the-street retail, we're a struggle. A store that opens up selling T-shirts or fancy ties might be in good shape through May through early October, but if they're totally relying on retail traffic, they might very well die in the winter. But we boast some very nice restaurants, and we're also a site of places where people want to run offices and businesses here. You see those type of activities. But we will have somebody on the tour talking about the downtown business district of yore, and we're hoping that it continues to thrive now in the current times.
A downtown that includes everything from the current-day Daddy Maxwell's, also known as the Arctic City Diner. If you want a picture, whether it be, Arnold's Drive-In from the show Happy Days or whatever, here's very much a circular, what was once a drive-in, shaped like an igloo. There was even a studio car dealership located within the town, and you're able to see that location. And going up the hill, and we're down a main hill, there is what's known as the Bayview building. Who would like to speak about the Bayview building, specifically the four or five things it's done to special? Pat Grove, president of the Historical Society, you want to give a crack at that sixth or seventh event on the Williams Bay Historical Tour coming up in a couple weeks, 3 weeks?
I'd be happy to. Important events and dates at the site here included the Buckhorn Tavern in 1840. It was a stagecoach stop. In 1888, there was an advent of railroad bringing many businesses to the area. In 1903, there was a Southwick General Store built on the site. The 1930s, the site was purchased by George Houghton for a realty insurance office, and that is the main building that we're focusing on. Dr. Cliff Wiswell rented and had his office and practice also in that Houghton building. Another one, another business that has been here for many, many years has been the barbershop, Terry's Barbershop.
John, I got my hair cut there, but full disclosure, I got my hair cut by Terry just the other day. And it also doubles as a dry cleaners. But tell us the history of that particular thing, just north of that crucial intersection of 67 and 50.
Prior to it being Terry's barbershop, it was Bill Albert's barbershop. And he had it for many, many years, from the 30s right up until the mid-60s when Terry took it over. It still has an original barber pole that goes around. You don't see too many of those anymore, the red, white, and blue barber pole.
And Terry has Terry being a avid Corvette owner and auto enthusiast, has some very vintage gas pumps in there, along with what I like to think of as 1910 architecture, that wonderful tin roof that you look up in between getting your, not tin roof, tin ceiling, while you're getting your hair trimmed.
The barbershop is also kind of a hub of the community. A lot of people just stop in there for a cup of coffee and shoot the breeze, as you will, and enjoy talking to each other. So it's kind of a hub, and it's a nice place to visit.
All of us are old enough to have heard or have listened to the song Sitting on the Corner Watching All the Girls Go By. And on more than one occasion, I've seen Don of our main antique store. There's several antique places and also three or four art galleries. But I've seen Don, and not to scandalize him with his wife, it's probably not his intention, but Richard Dreiser, the longtime now emeritus tour director of the University of Chicago Yerkes Observatory. And indeed, perhaps even myself, sitting on a bench, and you see every beautiful woman in the Walworth County area. And Pat, I haven't seen you yet, but I'm sure I will. Dropping by either the Green Grocer upstairs, which is our, I call it our little bit of San Francisco, an all organic, all healthy grocery store. But right next to it, the Clearwaters Saloon, the salon. I think Williams Bay probably had some saloons in its day, but I swear every gorgeous, well-coiffed woman comes in and out of there if you wait around long enough. So that's my version of the wonders of Williams Bay, and a shout out to all our wonderful members of the fairest sex in town. Well, moving along in a less sexist way, Pat Grove, president of the Historical Society, am I looking at, first of all, where we're at now, the Barrett Memorial Library, ain't always been a library.
Yes, okay. The Barrett Memorial Library is new on our tour. It's a magnificent place to visit. The Sturgis family of Lake Geneva donated their bowling alley to Williams Bay in 1907. Yes, that's right. At a time, you could either check out a book or bowl a few frames. Maybe things haven't changed much, and the teens occasionally still play bowling in the teen area.
That'd be the little handheld video game that everybody loves.
Yeah. So be sure and stop by the Barrett Library and meet our new librarian this year, Joy. We'll move along here and walk up the hill to Frost Park.
An interesting part of the history of Williams Bay and of Yerkes Observatory was its director the 1930s, perhaps the 20s, but he was blind, and he would find his way to what is now Frost Park, I think using ropes and methods, and he could get from there or from his home to the observatory.
Yes. Frost was a beloved neighbor and director of Yerkes Observatory, Edwin B. Frost, and he was an amazing man. And he actually brought the cardinals, to Williams Bay. So come on the tour. The cardinal is the official bird of Williams Bay, and find out how this happened. Currently the Williams Bay High School History Club has renovated the park. That happened in 2011. And the high school students take care of it. They go out and they rake, they plant flowers, they water, they clean up. It's just a beautiful spot just to sit and visit.
And our remarkable host, Joy, the present-day librarian of Williams Bay, who succeeded Ann Becker, who is still active in the Friends of the Library, Joy has added a modern-day vibrancy to our little library that could, and all kinds of digital offerings, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of the things we hear about will be displayed in future events or on their website. With 10 minutes left to go in the program, I'm going to fast forward us a little bit. Site L on the Wonders of Williams Bay tour is going to be the United Church of Christ, which has a particular distinction, Pat.
Yes, this year the site is new. The church celebrated its 100th anniversary last year, and it's one of the foundations in Williams Bay. At the church, they're offering a free ice cream Sunday social from 10 to 3 o'clock, and they invite visitors to come in, and they have a traveling Vietnam display.
My goodness.
Borrowed from the War Museum in Madison. So be sure and stop by.
And that's going to be at the Church of Christ. That is a, as I've seen in other towns that I've reported in over the years, it's a miniature of the Vietnam War Memorial, that wall where you see all the names. And every bit is moving to see those names and to reflect, especially at this time of year when we're approaching Armed Forces Day on May 16th and Memorial Day at the end of the month. Highly recommended, and some ice cream to boot. I'm going to take, if anyone wants to join in, but I'm going to be a hog, and as the host of Yerke StarQuest every Thursday and Friday on the midday news of WGTD, next is the Yerkes Observatory. And from Albert Einstein coming to a major motion picture with Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman, which is as much a clone of the Harrison Ford movie, The Fugitive, as you could get, including most of the same actors. In fact, the same fella who starred in Malcolm in the Middle was shot on the train in The Fugitive, and without spoiling it too much, as a state trooper, he gets shot on the roof of the Yerkes Observatory. But it's a remarkable movie, not in terms of criticism, but certainly remarkable in that you're able to see many sites on the Williams Bay Historical Tour, including both Yerkes. And a last shout out to Yerkes, also the home from 1916 to 1917 of some fella named Edwin Hubble. I think he's had something to do with not only discovering other galaxies, but also having a space telescope in his name. But something else you would see in that movie, which is available at the Williams Bay Library, as a matter of fact. Yeah, well, who doesn't? George Williams College of Aurora University, which has been around from 1886 to the present, and was founded as a YMCA camp. And if we may dabble in personal matters, former trustee John Grove, co-founder of the Historical Society, and certainly a benefactor through your knowledge of the Williams Bay, the Wonders of Williams Bay Historical Tour, which is coming up on May 20th from 10 a.m. to 3. John, there's kind of a personal connection between you and Pat at George Williams.
Yes, we both had summer jobs at George Williams College in the 60s and met there and married and raised three children. I've lived in Williams Bay for 50 years. Actually, George Williams is no relation to the Williams, Israel Williams, who founded Williams Bay. George Williams was from England and founded the YMCA originally, and just happened that Williams Bay was the place that they settled on to have George Williams College. But as I said, nothing to do with Israel Williams, who did found the Williams Bay.
I've often said that and this would get a mixed reception by our more Wisconsin side of things, but I've often said that Williams Bay, to me anyways, after 4 years here, a Lake Forest, Illinois kid, is a suburb of northern Chicago that got lost and drifted with the continental drift that separated Africa and South America. But it's amazing how many Illinois-ish connections there are, and indeed, you know, the railroad in part made that that possible. But you know, George Williams is now affiliated with Aurora University out of Aurora, Illinois. And where I'm going with all of this is, if you're a Northern Illinois resident, and we certainly broadcast into that on WGTD, one thinks of the outdoor park Ravinia Festival with music, and George Williams Music by the Bay, which is a summer event. For many people, that's probably their most famous event. We haven't heard from you in a while, Greg. You've been known to talk from time to time on this program. Again, welcome back for your third iteration. Give a little flavor of, in a minute or so, of what Music by the Bay is like and how popular it is and how this little campus of 500 or 600 undergrad all of a sudden becomes a focus of literally thousands.
Yeah, well, George Williams certainly is one of the anchors here in Williams Bay, and it's one of the many of the various camps and stuff that started here in the late 19th century and are still with us today. George Williams is respected academically, and one thing they do is put on this free musical program. It may not be free, but it's a musical program every summer, which I know people enjoy. Some of our few of our restaurants also often musical programs, and it's just something that people really, really enjoy. So,
and everything from highliners and rock and jazz, from the Chicago Philharmonic to great top 40 greats like the Doobie Brothers, or I believe America this year, and the Chicago Philharmonic. Lyle Lovett, if you've listened to country from time and time. And just a real world-class place to attend, and you'll get to see that when you go to George Williams. We've spoken of the interesting things about the East Elvin Union Cemetery, which is Site O, and help my math, there's 15 stops on the tour?
Yes, 15 stops.
That's 14. We've talked about it, so which leaves us in the last 3 minutes quickly to speak a little bit about Belfry Music Theater before we wrap it up. It was originally a Mormon church in the 1880s, and then in 1936, the Belfry Players organized it. And along the way, we mentioned Harrison Ford and Paul Newman and Gary Berghoff starting there, the fellow who starred in the movie Office Space, for those of you from the 1990s. But boy, John Grove, former trustee, I remember there was a time in the not too distant future, not too distant past, where it didn't have a future. From about 1996 on, it laid pretty much shuttered. And the common wisdom was that it would either end up as a Walgreens opposite the hospital, Walworth Mercy Hospital, or I think you would hope that it would be a visitor's center.
We had hoped to get a grant from the state to perhaps make it a visitor center for Williams Bay and also a historical site for our displays to be exhibited. And we did not succeed in doing that, and I was afraid that I'd wake up someday and it would be a parking lot for Mercy Hospital. But fortunately, the organization that's taken it over has done a wonderful job, and they're presenting some marvelous plays and programs.
Right, and with a music theater bent, which was its last iteration from the famous Eddie Cash in our area. Eddie Cash sung with, I think, Elvis and other famous people. And so he had a show there. And so as a music theater has been its iteration most recently with many tribute artists. And its first summer last summer was remarkable with all the people that would come. And eventually we hope that drama will return there, as it was Wisconsin's first summer theater. In the minute or so we have left, Greg Trush, man of many hats, former Chicago, City of Chicago, I wouldn't say official, but certainly played a role down there, village trustee, co-founder of the Williams Bay Historical Society, and who told us all about 2 years ago the first Wonders of Williams Bay Historical Tour. In 30 seconds or less, what's the best thing for someone to enjoy about the Williams Bay Historical Tour coming up on Saturday, May 20th?
Well, I'd certainly be walking along the lake. I'd stop in at Kishwaukoto. I'll be down by the bridge talking about its Williams Bay's prehistoric past. The talk about the boats will be there. And then you have to go to the little part of older Williams Bay where the burial site is, where some of the old historic business. And this is all within very easy walking distance. You might have to jump in a car to get up to the East Elvin Union Cemetery. But so much of our history is centered in the area in or near the lake. It's just going to be a great experience for people that day, I think.
I want to thank all three of you, Greg Trush and John Grove, co-founders of the Williams Bay Historical Society. Pat Grove, the current president of the society, to not only thank you for describing the historical tour, which happens Saturday, May 20th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., but also for providing a free of charge event. And if indeed there's one thing Williams Bay has always been, has been a affordable place. Even their current business association talks about being the summer resort where you don't have to pay for parking. So this has been Community Matters. I'm Jim McClure, wishing you a great Saturday afternoon and a blessed week ahead.
WGTD HD Kenosha Racine.